And if you turn with me, please, to the New Testament scriptures and to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel and chapter 3. Many people love to big up and lord up preachers, say that they think this man or that man was the greatest preacher, the prince of preachers, was the most gifted preacher, the most eloquent preacher, the most used preacher. Other than the Son of God, for me, my own personal view, this man was the Prince of Preachers. This man was the Prince of Preachers. He had little fruit that he saw. He paid with his head. But this man was faithful. Faithful to the Word of God. And most importantly, his aim always and only was to point to the Son of God and away from himself. We read of this man, John, and in this portion of Holy Scripture, we note that he is just referred to as John. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the great Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Euturia, the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. Such great men. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. No title. But the word of God came to this faithful, humble man. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, And what shall we do? So he said to them, Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now as the people were in expectation and reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. In the film about the mafia, in the famous last of the trilogy, of the Godfather trilogy, in the Godfather Part 3, Don Corleone, Michael Corleone, is in the latter stages of his life. And he comes, as with all the hypocrites, in this false way of religion, he comes to the Catholic priest. He comes to a Catholic priest, an archbishop, a cardinal. He comes and is encouraged to confess his wrongdoing, all his wrongdoings, of which there were so many. And he comes up with a line in this scene which strikes home. It strikes home. For he says, interestingly, to this priest, knowing his foul deeds, he says, What good does it do me if I confess my sin but do not repent? There are many who confess Christ. There are many who even would go as far as to confess sin, but do no such thing as to repent. They know nothing of repentance. And this is what is being addressed here by John the Baptist. This is what is being addressed here. Many were confessing their sins. Even the chief priests came. The Pharisees, they came. They thought this was great, this religious experience that was going on here. Let's go and join with the others. Let's go and be baptized and confess our sins. Let's go through this public spectacle. But they knew nothing of repentance. Nothing of it. John the Baptist addresses the false piety and hypocrisy of those who think that they are the people of God through their family line or ties. Namely here, through Abraham's seed. Some link with others, some link with others who were or are believers, as if it did them good. That by observing religious traditions or festivals is enough for peace with God. The same thing is prevalent today. It may even be prevalent in this place today. It may be you today, thinking that you have some access to God through something you do, or something someone else has done, or some tradition, or some festival, or some family line, that you can inherit eternal life that way. People think that by some accident or so-called privilege of birth, they can lay claim to being a Christian, a child of God. It's been well said, when people stick up for members of the royal family and say, well, they should leave them alone, some of them who aren't so close in line to the throne, it's not their fault that by some accident of birth they're in that family. Well, that's true. That's true. They could quite clearly say that, although it's not really an accident. But there are no accidents of birth in the kingdom of God. Those who are the children of God are born of God. They are born of the King, and they are the royal children of God, by design and not accident, but by the will of God alone, not the will of man, not by any fleshly link, but by God the Spirit. These religious folk who came to John the Baptist to go through the motions had a totally, totally wrong view of the Abrahamic covenant that God had made. And this is the case today within the Christian church. False teaching claims spiritual blessings and rights for children of believing parents based on a faulty, wrong understanding of God's promise to Abraham, applying it to believers and their children. This is a false teaching. It is not of God. Just only this week, I listened to a sermon online, and it was actually a delight to me to hear this guy say these words, because it just shows you that it's so rare, this honesty is so rare in preaching, openly saying such things. This man, in speaking about regeneration, the need of being made anew, of God intervening and bringing new life, of God needing to breathe new life into the sinner and a new birth needed, he said, and quoting the scripture where the apostle says, "Awake, O sleeper, awake, O sleeper, and Christ shall shine on thee. Arise from the dead." He said, "My three little girls at home are dead sleepers. They know not Christ." How many men honestly speak that way? But that man was faithful in what he said. For eternal life cannot be passed on through any human act. Anything. There is no guarantee of eternal life to anyone unless they be found already amongst the children of God the elect of God, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Do not begin to say you are children of Abraham. Perhaps you are one who thinks that you are one who thinks that you somehow are a member of God's church simply because your family apparently always have been. I don't know who these families are who always have been members of God's church. Born by some miraculous way with no sin. You must know the one greater than religion, the one greater than family tradition. You must come to know him. And here in the scripture was being taught that, you see, a greater than Abraham is here. It's not enough to say, for these people to say, we have come of the line of Abraham. We have the rights of the children of God because we're of the line of Abraham. John the Baptist is teaching them that a greater than Abraham is here. Greater than him as well. And has come of the seed of the patriarch Abraham. Yet he was before him. Yet this one who comes of the seed of Abraham in the flesh was before Abraham. For he is Jehovah God, who promised the blessing to this man Abraham. This is he who John the Baptist points to. Who he ever came to point to. This is who I point you to now. Him that was to come, promised to Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What was God saying? What was God saying to Abraham? Is this saying that Jesus came into the world to save everyone, each and everyone? And that he indeed gives eternal life to all, each and everyone, as a result of his glorious death and resurrection? Well, certainly not. This cannot be so. It not only was never promised in the Word of God, and it never meant that in the Word of God, but fact tells us so as well. Not only is it a wrong understanding of the covenant made with Abraham, but also it is also obvious that not all believe on the Son of God. And that is God's prescribed way for the receiving of this eternal life. Not all believe on the Son of God. As Isaiah the prophet says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Two things here. Who has believed our report? Only those, you see. Only those whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed to. Who is the arm of the Lord? It is the Lord Jesus, whose arm is not too short that it cannot save. As the Word of God tells us, salvation is received through faith on the Son of God, but it is by the grace of God alone. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The promise to bless all families means to visit with his salvation all tribes and tongues and peoples and nations. He has his elect, he has his remnant scattered throughout all this world. In each and every time. So firstly, as we continue our series on who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? We see that he is greater. He is not only greater, he is the one greater than Abraham. Last week we saw he is the one greater than Adam. He is the last Adam, the life-giving spirit. And this week we see he is the one greater than Abraham. Firstly, Christ is greater than Abraham because he is God Almighty. That's why he's greater than Abraham. Trusting in family lines or ties of tradition is not trusting God. That's what these people were not doing. They were not trusting God. They were trusting family. Family line only brings sin. For in Adam all die. It's been rightly said, the only good thing a father ever gives his child is... Sorry, it's not a good thing. The only thing a father ever gives their child is sin. Cannot impart life. Cannot impart anything good. Only God is good. You need a new life. You need a different life. You must receive the call of God in Christ personally. We've just read a few moments ago of this Moses who receives the call of God. He receives the call of God, the Son indeed, the messenger of the covenant, the angel of Jehovah, God the Son, revealed in the Old Testament. He received the call before God declared he was the God of his fathers. First and foremost, he was declaring himself to Moses now. What good did it do him if God was just the God of his fathers, of Jacob, of Isaac and Abraham? What good did that do him? He calls him by name, does he not? Moses! Moses! Notice how when he declares who he is to Moses, it was particular to him first and foremost now. Right now, at this particular time. Is God calling you at this particular time? Before he even tells him he is the same God of his father and Jacob, Isaac and Abraham, it is first and foremost to him. He hears the call of God. He would never have noticed a bush that burned and was not consumed had God not called to him from it. It was an amazing sight. And indeed, Christ and him crucified is a wonder. But it means absolutely nothing, and you will not see Christ and him crucified unless God revealed to you. Unless God called to you and say to you, "Behold, behold the man." Don't look to your physical connection with these men. That's what God is, in other words, saying to Moses. He points him to who he is, not to who Jacob, not to who Isaac, not to who great Abraham was. He's the God of Abraham. The God of Abraham, praise. I am that I am. Abraham had a beginning. Abraham has died. I am that great I am. I am that I am. I always have been. I am the immutable one. I am the one who is without beginning or end. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is the same one who speaks at the last book of the Bible, in the very last, towards the very last words of this book in Revelation. I am Alpha, I am Omega. I am your God, so believe me. And so we see the one who says, I am that I am, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like as he said to Moses here in Exodus 3, he says in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am, he is saying. It is me. Before you who speaks, he says, I am. I am the one who spoke to Moses. Secondly, Christ is greater than Abraham because he changes his people from within. Something that nothing of the flesh can do. Something that no fleshly line can do. He changes his people from within. He is the fulfillment of the covenant made with Abraham. And note, Abraham was given an outward sign of that fulfillment of the covenant with him and his people. He's given an outward sign by a cutting away of the flesh, circumcision. But that's a physical circumcision that only ever pointed to something greater. You see, the covenant made with Abraham was all about his seed, singular, as Galatians 3 tells us. But not the many, but the singular, the one to come. Yes, his seed, many, were part of that, but they were not the preeminent part of that covenant. The first and foremost of that covenant was the seed, Christ, who was to come. His seed to come was the one who was before Abraham was, I am. Christ Jesus. And in him were all the promised spiritual seed, inheritors of salvation. Their sins would be put away, not by a cutting away of the flesh in a mere religious ceremony, but by a working alone of God the Holy Spirit within the heart. A work that only he can do. A circumcision of the heart. Romans 2 tells us in verse 28 to 29, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, and whose praise is not of men, but of God. this inward circumcision of the working of God the Holy Spirit does what outward religious acts can never do. It brings a cutting away, a forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2 tells us, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." That's the people of God. God has done an inward work. He has changed them. He has forgiven them. He has cut them to the heart. Their sins are revealed to them, and they have repented of them. That is what John is saying. Don't think just because outwardly you have been circumcised and you are a Jew outwardly, or you have some kind of religious Christian experience or tradition outwardly, that you come and you can lay claim to be the people of God. And by this outward sign of baptism, it does you no good. But first there must be an inward work, of which the baptism speaks. That being dead once, you have been buried with Christ and raised again with Christ. Thirdly, Christ is greater than Abraham. He is greater than Abraham because Abraham trusted him, trusted Christ for all his righteousness with God, and not in his own works of righteousness. He had none. Christ is greater than Abraham because Abraham trusted him as his only hope, as his only hope of acceptance with God. Romans 4 tells us, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh?" Remember, the apostle is not speaking to Jews only here. He's talking to the church of God. Note, he refers to Abraham as our father. "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, or declared righteous, or not guilty in God's sight. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say?" Oh, if people would get back to what the scriptures say. People run around saying, "Are you not doing this thing? Are you not doing that thing? Are you not keeping this festival? Are you not keeping that festival?" I say, what does the scripture say? You have your answer. It all matters. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Abraham knew he was ungodly, and he had only one plea, and that was this Christ, who is greater than him. The true children of Abraham believe who he believed. The true children of Abraham believe as Abraham believed. Romans 4:17. They are the children of Abraham. If you believe truly and you are only believing on the Son of God for all righteousness, you are children of Abraham. You're the spiritual seed. You're the ones promised in this covenant. Only those who are believing as Abraham, solely upon Christ, for righteousness before God, for acceptance with the Almighty, can lay claim to this. That's why people can't just dive into the two things that have been commanded of the Christian church. The two ordinances, only two, no festivals, ordinances, the Lord's Supper, as often as you take it, and baptism by immersion only, once. Neither can be rushed into unless the ones partaking of them are truly born of God. And then they must be. They are a command. And that is why this faithful preacher, John, doesn't just go along with it for a congregation to fill his numbers, to fill the followers of John. He sends them away. We're all fleeing their ear. How many preachers do that today? They'd rather fill up their seats with goats than sheep. But this man, John, was faithful. For he had to point to this Christ. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The gospel. What is the gospel? Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:9-6. Fourthly, Christ is greater than Abraham, because what could not come about by natural means, it was impossible. What could not come about by natural means, Christ does for as many as he will call. Do you know this statement by John? He says here, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Just go outside and talk to a stone and tell it to do something. It's lifeless, is it not? It's lifeless. Can you communicate with a stone? I know people do. I know idolaters do. They think they are communicating with stumps and stones and idols, but they never hear nor see. These stones, John says. What is he saying here? What he's saying here is, to these people, it's not according to anything that you or your family do, or your family line are, or what you choose to do. You cannot do anything. It is as the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 1. Or as John says of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God alone. You must be born again, the Saviour says to Nicodemus. And he says to you must be born again. And so you cannot give birth to yourself. You cannot be born again as a result of believing, because you cannot believe because you are dead. You are as these stones, and you must be made alive. But this is not impossible to God. He He is able to raise up unto Abraham this spiritual seed, believing as him, even as from stones. And the Saviour calls the spiritual seed descendants of Abraham, who are truly like Abraham, believing with believing Abraham. The people who came to be baptized thought that by outward works and reliance on a physical descent from Abraham made them right with God. God calls a people for himself to salvation in Christ, who was crucified. He who was once offered to bear the sins of many. Salvation never came about by the works or choice of men. For Scripture is clear, salvation is of the Lord. God calls to salvation. He calls to salvation even those, it would seem, could not be those blessed in Abraham. For they are not of the line of Abraham, physically. God called this man, not of the line of any Christian line. I don't know any Christian line in my family. As if stones made children unto Abraham who were not a people. He says, I will call them a people who were not a people. They should be called the people of God, whose hearts and lives were dead in trespasses and sins. Even as dead and lifeless as stones, this one, greater than Abraham, gives eternal life to. But there is always a sign of life. There is always a sign of life. And that is what John is getting at here. There's always a sign of life. Don't begin to say you are children of Abraham. What does he say? Show forth fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just say it. What does your life show? The writer to the Hebrews calls it a repentance from dead works. What is repentance? Repentance is a turning around. It's not the false teaching that people teach kids today and have done for many years. Say sorry. How many times do you say sorry? What good does it do me if I confess my sins but do not repent? It's a turning around. It's a new direction. That's what repentance is. It's a turning from self and a turning to God. It's a turning from your way to God's way. It's a repentance from dead works. It's showing you are alive. How many times have I had to say it? If you saw a child that was stillborn, you would never say they were alive, would you? If you saw someone of elderly years who's passed away, would you say they are alive? Always a sign. You see flowers, those daffodils have come up now. Some of them have come up too early, haven't they? And they'll be gone soon because of the cold weather. Where's the sign of the life? It's there. Yes, there is the bulb in the ground, but unless that flower comes up, where is the sign of the life? Where is the sign? It's a repentance from dead works. So let's apply these things then. Do not begin to think or say you have this Lord Jesus. Do not even begin to think or say that you have this Lord Jesus, this God, as your God and Saviour, just because you have parents or family that have known him, present or past. Are you greater than Moses? Did him no good? Or just because you have joined in with the worship service of God here or anywhere else, have you met with this God? Have you met with this God and Saviour? And has he called you to salvation? The scripture says God is no respecter of person. You come before the throne of Christ one day and say, I went to that church, they preached the gospel, I even believed the doctrine they taught, I was from a good family, a good Christian family, hiding behind the skirts of these things. God will pull that skirt up and reveal the filth of your sin. That's what he says to his people in the Old Testament. I will reveal your nakedness and your shame. Do not begin to hide behind anyone else. You must be found hiding in Christ. He must be your strong tower. He must be your shield and your protector. He must be all your righteousness. Salvation cannot be imparted physically, either by proxy of being born of believing parents or by so-called godparents promising to lead you in the way you must go. If ever there was such an animal anyway who fulfilled that promise. Most of those so-called godparents know not God. It's pathetic. It's the blind leaders of the blind. Certainly not by sprinkling water on the head of an infant, making the sign of a cross, or even as the Coptics in Egypt think that they are so much greater, that they don't sprinkle the infant, they even immerse the infant. Does them no good either. Certainly not by making promises at a so-called dedication service. People cop the strop. Yeah, I say cop the strop. They cop the strop with me and Alison because we did not have Fiona dedicated here. Where is it commanding me? I'll do it. I've been at dedication services. Everyone stands up and promises to pray. How many prayed? It's no different. It's the evangelical christening. That's all it is. As if dedicating a child to the Lord gives, imparts salvation. That's nothing. Yes, we gave thanks. Of course we gave thanks. But we didn't parade it. As if someone born of my loins was somehow greater than any other child. Jesus, the God of Abraham, may be the God of your friends or family, but unless he be your God, you cannot lay claim to salvation. Is that not what I told you? Is that not what your mother told you? When so often you said, we're all Christians, even at the age of 1.5, 2? Yes, I dared to say to such a young child. She had to know. She had to know. We do you no good. We pass no salvation on to you. You must know this Saviour yourself. The Lord Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father which sent me draws him, and I will give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. If the Saviour be drawing you, you must come the same way to know your sins forgiven and be righteous with God as Abraham did. You must believe with believing Abraham. If you believe on the Son of God, you will be saved. On Him alone. You say, I believe on the Son of God. I say, good. But you say, I believe on the Son of God. And then bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. For what good does it do you if you only by words confess Christ and know not repentance? And none at all. For you will remain as lifeless as a stone. I pray that all here today will truly know what it means to be made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.